The S&D Podcast Channel, the perfect channel for any style of podcast. We have all different pop culture style podcasts for all of your listening needs. If you would like to start a podcast, you can reach us at sndpodcast@gmail.com. We are always looking for new podcasts to add to our channel, and the topic could be anything you want. So contact us now.
Episode 383, S&D Podcast. Vin, I have to start off with a very important question for you.
Hit me, brother.
Have you watched Ted on Peacock yet?
I have not, but have heard only good things.
It is hilarious.
So it's on the docket. It's in the plan.
Literally. When?
I don't know, but.
7-episode season.
Okay.
About 40 to 45 minutes an episode.
That's not bad.
It's basically Family Guy, but hilarious.
So.
More. Hilarious.
I
haven't watched Family Guy a lot recently, so I don't know how it is.
It's like he's younger.
Correct.
Okay.
It's him going through high school.
Okay, that's, I can see the possible.
So basically, it's the time frame of after Ted comes alive, right?
Okay.
Ted becomes famous. Ted's right. No longer famous. Now what? Is basically what happens.
Okay, that's interesting because they kind of did that. Like in the movie, and I guess they didn't really focus on it in the movie. They were kind of, they showed how he was famous, but then they kind of just drop you into their life in the future.
Right. In the future, right.
They don't show you like a downfall. Okay. I can get with that.
And you see a lot of the movie too, which is always good. Because you see like things that they do growing up that leads into other things, and you're like, oh, okay. I remember that from the movie. This is where they started that idea.
But no Wahlberg.
No Wahlberg. I think an executive producer. His name's
I think he probably has some kind of rights, like he might have bought it or something. You know, I don't know. It was his.
No, it's all McFarlane.
Is it?
It's 100% McFarlane. Mm-hmm. Nothing in that.
I thought it was like his idea. I don't know.
He may be one of those like outside executive producer guys.
He just produces a lot of shit. He just got money, you know?
Yeah, but that's what you do.
I know.
There are people out there that, you know, because you get more commission being a producer, quote unquote, right. Literally just put it in their contract, like, you better make me a producer for this movie.
Right.
Like, look at Tom Cruise. I highly doubt he did anything directing-wise in Top Gun 2, but guess what? He was a producer.
Right. Right. Okay, so it's on the list.
I went to watch episode 1 Echo.
Okay.
But my ADD was going on during it, so I didn't really pay attention to a lot of it.
Okay. How far did you get in it?
I got to through the first episode, but I got to go back and rewatch the episode to recap. Because I was very confused early on.
I watched about half of it, I'd say. And they don't do a great job. Like, there's no like time frame cards from what I got to. They don't do an awesome job showing you where you are.
So one of the spots I recall, right, from the show, they show when Hawkeye, from the scene from Hawkeye where they kill her dad in the mechanic, right, in the show. But yeah. Remember, that's not Hawkeye at that point.
It's he's whatever, Ronin, I think. I don't remember.
Right. It was Ronin, but yeah. It wasn't him as Ronin. It was Kate Bishop as Ronin at that point.
Was it?
Yeah, because if you remember Hawkeye, she becomes Ronin at one point.
But I see that's where I'm confused. To me, that scene took place like during the blip when he was Ronin. Because that's what I thought the whole thing was. When you go back to when in Hawkeye, like she's coming after him because he killed her dad.
She's coming after the Ronin. Right. That's where I got lost. Right. So that's that scene because they say, because like 5 minutes after in the first episode, it's Echo versus Daredevil.
I didn't get there.
Okay. Well, they have a fight scene. Right. But it came out where there's your proof that he didn't blip.
Okay.
During that time frame.
But.
And then eventually they move past time, the blip.
I think it's different though. Because she's like a kid sort of when they kill not her during dad, the blip. No?
Uh-uh. She's older. A lot older. She's basically an adult at that point.
Right. Okay. She's a kid in the beginning when they kill her mom. Okay.
Right. When the car accident happens from the brakes.
Right. But then they didn't really like. They didn't really explain it, but somebody killed her mom, right? They said somebody cut the brakes.
Correct.
And then we know from Hawkeye, I guess we assume from Hawkeye, that Kingpin hired him to kill the dad. Because that's how he knew who Kingpin was. I assume.
Problem is, I think I have to go back and watch Hawkeye.
Right. Because I know, like... When they introduced Kingpin into Hawkeye, he was like, oh, that's a bad dude. Like, he knew.
Yeah, but he could have also known that because Kingpin was always a bad guy.
He could have just known.
Which is why they scrapped Daredevil, if you didn't hear, recently.
No.
They scrapped it because of Echo. And now are going to basically turn the Daredevil show, Born Again, into the Netflix show. A continuation of the Netflix show. Doing what everybody wanted originally.
Okay.
Because originally they were going to basically restart it with the same guy, but kind of do more of like flashbacks for him in his life to those moments. But those people would all be already dead, like Foggy and all those other, like the Fulton Reed would already be dead. Fulton Reed was in Daredevil.
Fulton Reed died?
Fulton Reed, if I remember correctly, dies in Daredevil.
Because I saw him, I think, on a poster or something.
But now they're bringing it. But maybe he was still alive. He was his business partner. So do you remember the Affleck movie?
Yes.
Okay. He played the Jon Favreau role.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. Now that you're saying it, that okay. Got it.
Okay. Because that now that I'm thinking back to the Affleck movie.
Okay.
The girl is just a random girl that started working.
Girl's just a girl. It's not Elektra is not in this movie.
She was in the show, but it was played by a different. It wasn't the blonde.
Okay. Okay.
But now apparently they're going back to the whole Netflix thing and being like, all right, that was more successful. Let's just continue that.
Yeah, I have to go back. I have to watch that.
On Disney.
It's on Disney Plus. Show. They took it off of Netflix? I know they put it on Disney Plus. I don't know. Did they take it off Netflix?
I'm pretty sure everything's off of Netflix at this point.
Netflix is more pointless at this point.
What did I watch recently on Netflix?
Maybe it's just me. I never watch any of their original shows except for Stranger
Things. I was watching Meg.
Okay. I watched Knives Out, the second one. It came out fucking a year ago, but I finally got around to watching it. It was good, but I don't like.
I keep getting told to go back and watch Peaky Blinders, but I keep falling asleep during the first episode.
We're one and the same. I got about a half hour into the first episode and I passed out. That was it.
I think like the third time around, I made it through like 45 minutes of the first episode and then passed out, but yeah.
It's not the show's fault. It's just me. So I don't.
Ozark, I was watching the first season. But my problem with Ozark was, it was basically like Breaking Bad 2.0.
Okay.
It was way too much.
I've heard that. I don't know. It's just that never caught me. Ozarks.
There's other things on here. Like, I'll watch random stuff on here.
I mean, they have some good stuff.
It's keep trying to watch Shameless on there, but like, I get to like 7 episodes, and I'm just like, why am I still watching this?
Yeah, not. I don't know. Shameless is one I might, because like, this is what happened with Suits, is that I keep seeing the clips on TikTok.
That's the same thing with Shameless.
Same with Shameless. Like, I always see the clips, and I'm like, maybe I'll like this show.
I'm literally going through Netflix right now. I'm just looking at all the shows. Peaky Blinders. Tamco FD, we may like. If you like the Super Trooper movies, it's that cast as firefighters.
Okay, not really.
Fubar was kind of ridiculous. Don't recommend. Or is the Schwarzenegger show?
Oh, I watched an episode or two of that. And it got
really weird really quickly.
It was like, well, his daughter in the movie was just in something else. His daughter in the show.
I'm trying to think of who played the daughter in the show.
Shoot, now I gotta look. My dad, like I said, I watched it with my dad because it was Monica just one of the
Barbaro.
Yeah, she's in something else that just happened.
Maverick, Top Gun.
Maverick. Oh, she was in Top Gun. Back to what we're talking about. She was in Top Gun. So we watched like 2 episodes, and then I left, and he finished watching it. And he was like, "It wasn't that good. You don't have to watch it." So
yeah, it's kind I of didn't. I know I've mentioned it before. Painkiller was great.
Painkiller, you did mention that before.
That was the Matthew Broderick show. I mentioned it to you and your dad when we went to Delaware.
Painkiller, okay.
That's from Matthew Broderick, mainly because I think Matthew Broderick's one of the better.
He's very good.
One of the more underrated.
I was basically having the same conversation at work about what's on Netflix. There is a lot of good comedy specials on Netflix. If you haven't, like, Shane Gillis, his one is really good.
Shane Gillis is hilarious. I haven't watched the Matt Reeve one yet.
No, I haven't. I think there's a new. If you ever watch Nate Bargatze, he's really funny too. I don't know. He's one of the few, like, he doesn't really curse, or he's pretty much a clean comic. Very funny though. So I guess it has some good stuff. But if I had to cut one, it would be the first one I'd cut. Yeah, because it doesn't.
You can go on anything else and watch most of the stuff.
Well, that's my thing. Like, all of the other ones have one property at least that's keeping me there. Like Hulu, I have it because it's in the bundle. But obviously, right. Disney has everything that I want, and Peacock it has The Office, and I also get any WWE stuff that I want.
Also, the game last Saturday.
And the game. This is strange.
By the way, just a little quick before you go into this comment. The movie Dumb Money about the GameStop is going to be on Netflix starting Sunday.
Well, maybe I'll watch that.
Some of the Netflix documentaries have been pretty good.
Sure. Netflix does have some pretty good documentaries. This is like I don't know how long WWE Network has existed, but this is a long, that old conversation. How do they make money off of this process?
There's three versions of Peacock. Okay. The free version where you get commercials like crazy.
Yeah.
They're getting money for that.
Okay.
Then there's one where this is because we're old.
We're old. We're trying to get this so we can go to sleep. And also Danny couldn't make tonight, and he's usually the reason we stay a little later. He has parenting duties to take care of. But I'm not sure why he can't do tonight, to be completely honest.
Anywho.
But we can get a little early, I do.
Peacock has three bundles. Three different versions. The free one, you get commercials basically all the time. Then they have the premium one, which includes WWE, but has commercials. Then there's a third version that you can add to the premium one that's commercial free, which is the one I pay for.
Okay. Specific, I guess this is more, I like NBC or Peacock, whatever, gave WWE the money.
They gave them a whole ton of money.
Right, but like, I never understood it from the beginning. Are there that many people who don't just sign up for the network when the pay-per-views came around and paid $10 for a pay-per-view when it used to be $60?
Well, I was literally talking to my buddy at work about it, and he goes, the best thing he ever did last week was talk to his son about, it was that game, Roblox?
Yeah. Is that what it is? Yeah, Roblox.
So his son's like 9 years old, right?
Okay.
So, you know, every couple of months, he'll give him some money and be like, all right, here's your Robux money for the month or the beginning
right,
of the month.
Right, because you got to buy shit. I don't know how that works, but I know you have to buy.
Right. It's similar to Fortnite is basically what he said.
Yeah,
it's more
of like
a building game than a shooter game. I don't know. Anywho. So he made his son's very into wrestling. So he explained Peacock to him. But he said to him, he goes, you have a choice. I can get us Peacock moving forward, or we could continue using Robux.
Okay.
So he got him the Peacock with the ads, but the premium, so he gets the wrestling.
Right, which is, it's like $5. I think that's what I have.
It's like $5 or $6, right?
Yeah, I think that's the one I have.
I think I'm paying 11 for it without the commercials.
But again, that's how much WWE Network was $10 when they first came out with it.
Right.
Right.
But now they're getting the money off the sponsorships. They also get NBC rights. They're on, they do a lot of publicity during the big pay-per-view weeks, like on NBC channel, like Good Day America, things like that. They get paid for all that stuff.
I know a lot of people had like cable hookups where the pay-per-view was free, but was it that many people like to offset this cost? It feels like they had to offset the cost somehow. They're not losing money. But it's just, to me, crazy. Well,
they're also about to get one of the biggest TV deals in, like, the world.
I guess that's what... I don't know. It's just... that
because their TV deal is up.
Never made sense.
Their TV deal is up at the end of the year. And it's like Warner Brothers, Paramount, like, they're all fighting over it. Even Amazon's trying to fight for it.
So the weekly shows are going to go on a streaming service, is what we're saying?
It's not necessarily going to go on a streaming service, but, like, if Warner Brothers buys it, USA Network is no longer going to show Monday Night Raw. It's going to be like FX again. It's going to go back to FX, which it was for a while. Fox is losing SmackDown. Remember when it was Spike TV?
I thought that was TNA that had Spike TV.
WWE had it. That was like the point when I wasn't watching it because
Honestly, it has been on USA Network for as long as I remember. The Fox thing is, I don't watch the weeklies anymore anyway. So
I'm usually working
Saturday. I don't know.
Most of my Friday nights are at home now. So because I work Saturday morning, I go in a half hour earlier on Saturdays.
Okay.
So I'm up earlier on Saturday, so I'm not going anywhere.
You already
got to lay here and just let it play on my TV from 8 to 10 o'clock while I'm trying to fall asleep.
Right.
You know, it's perfect because once it ends, I'm going to be like, all right, this is on, I'm going to sleep.
The sweatshirt came very quickly that you're wearing.
It did.
Shout out, Michigan. Okay.
I got a new beanie from Dick's.
Very nice.
I was thinking about this today.
To me, the math never made sense, but I'm sure they figure it out. I don't know.
I mean, now you have me looking up the Wikipedia page.
But I'm like, that's what I'm saying.
So, you know, and there are in countries that there is the network still.
Okay.
There are some countries that do not have it on something. So it launched.
It launched in like, what, 2015?
September officially announced plans to launch in 2011.
Wow. Okay.
WWE announced plans to launch the WWE Network in 2012 as a paid TV channel.
Got it. 12. Okay,
2012. Okay. As a result, WrestleMania Rewinds, blah, blah, blah. Original launch date was April 1st, 2012, which coincidentally landed on WrestleMania, which made sense.
Okay.
The clock was removed in April of 2013, had switched plans and aimed the release for premium. So they switched it, so it didn't ring. Teaser promotion January 8th, blah, blah, blah. Launch date of February
24th, 2014. Which, when was it? What was that?
So February, just a random date in February.
Oh, okay.
In 2014, that's when it expanded into Canada. 15, they had a million subscribers at that point.
Okay, so 2015, they had a million subscribers.
In 2021, it announced that NBC Universal Television Streaming had acquired the exclusive USA distributing rights to the network. So that's where they got their money. They okay. sold the rights to the network.
So they weren't making as much money as they thought they would before, and they sold it to them, is what I'm assuming. Okay, then I guess that makes sense.
And it's going to be on Peacock until 2026.
At least. At least. The deal ends in 2026. Okay.
Right. That's when it's expiring.
It just, the whole process.
Which is fine. But again, like I said, my buddy at work literally explained to his son, he's like, it's the best thing ever. For $5 a month, my son gets to watch every wrestling event.
Right. If you want to be, you know, like us, I pay for it every month because it also, like I said, has The Office. So I can watch The Office whenever I want and I can watch any pay-per-view. For me, for whatever it is, you know, $5, $70 a year, that's worth it. Even if I'm only going to watch the Rumble or fucking Mania, one of the Mania nights.
Right. I mean, so my biggest thing that I don't like and I miss from the network.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that on the network, when you would watch pay-per-views, you can skip matches, you can go to different points in the match. However, on Peacock,
when you watch old ones, you're saying?
When you're watching old ones, they would have like timestamps. It was like chapters. Right, it was like chaptered match. Each pay-per-view was chaptered based on the match. So like you could watch their intros and then skip to the end of the match. And then boom, now you get to watch the promo for the next match / intros. And boom, skip to the end of the match. And then like, you know, WrestleMania, which was the Rock, which was the WrestleMania in, I think it was 17?
Rock Austin? Yeah,
17. Rock Austin.
Yeah, I think
it was 17. My Way. Okay, the My Way intro is one of the best of all time.
Okay.
That video promo package to lead into that match, still one of the greatest chilling ones of all time.
Haven't you watched Yellowstone? I haven't watched Yellowstone.
I have never watched Yellowstone.
Okay.
We can talk maybe. Two shows I was told to watch today was what's the Hawkeye guy show? Mayor of
I think it's Kingstown. It's not Easttown. Easttown's a different one. It's Kingstown or something. I don't know.
Mayor of Kingstown. I was told I have to watch that one. And also Tulsa King.
Tulsa King. I heard okay things about Stallone.
I have Paramount Plus. Shout out Melissa.
I think Coach great is for me on Monday. Mayor of Easttown too, I think.
Who?
Kyle Chandler. I think. Okay. Could be wrong.
Mayor of Easttown?
Now I gotta look.
Or mayor of Kingstown. He's a mayor of Kingstown.
Okay, Kingstown. Which is the one with Renner, no?
Yeah, you said Easttown.
Okay, I meant... That's the other one. Okay, yeah, he's very mayor violent. Okay, well.
I'm in.
Sure.
Jeremy Renner, he literally died driving a snow.
They like Tulsa King. Again, another show I've watched clips on TikTok for. Looked okay.
Tulsa King.
Yeah. But
Yellowstone, I don't know. I just never got into it.
Never did.
It's just funny because Kevin Costner, like, I guess to me, if he's not having a catch with his dad, I'm not interested.
If he's not playing baseball, I'm not interested.
Right. He's one of the best baseball players of all time.
I mean, he's definitely got the most baseball moves.
I got a good question for you here.
Hit me.
Ninth inning, bases loaded, two outs.
Oh, God.
Dennis Quaid or Kevin Costner? Who's pitching?
Kevin Costner, 100% of the time.
I don't know.
100% of the time.
Remember Rookie?
I do.
What a story.
But it's not a good baseball movie. Like, for the baseball in it is not good. He's pitching in jeans.
Has any movie with Dennis Quaid really been that good? Like,
yeah. Okay. Like, you're saying, is Dennis Quaid a good actor?
I'm not saying is he a good actor, because he is a good actor. I'm going to give him that.
Okay.
I'll give him good actor. But is there been a movie outside of The Day After Tomorrow where you say, oh, I have to watch this all the time?
Frequency.
Okay. That was a good one. I'll give you that one.
We like that one. You know what?
Especially because it's all about the 69 World Series.
Correct. We're going to pull up Dennis Quaid.
I have it up already. You ready?
There has to be. It's just not coming to me.
There has to be a Dennis Quaid. Hold on. We're going to share the screen for your.
Okay. Definitely. The Parent Trap is up there. The Parent Trap is great.
Okay. I'll give you The Parent Trap.
But I think. There it is right there. I think you might be right that it's a short list.
Far From Heaven. Never saw it.
No. He does a lot of, like, I don't know if that's one of the...
Space. Never saw it.
He does a lot of, like The Rookie was made by, like, a religiously backed production company. Like, they made the fucking Kurt Warner movie, too.
Which he's
He does a lot of those movies now. It's like not on my radar.
Apparently he was in SpongeBob.
Okay.
Who did he play in any game? Oh, he was the quarterback.
Oh, quarterback in Any Given Sunday. Okay. Any Given Sunday, that counts.
Okay. He was in Sesame Street.
Okay. Well, everybody's in Sesame Street.
Tony Soprano was in Sesame Street. All right, so far nothing back this way that I've ever seen.
Nothing at the bottom that to us stick out, at least.
Let's see. Stripes was a good movie. Not something I watch all the time. If it's on, like, if anything, it's one of those Bill Murray movies that if it's on, like, A&E.
Oh, I've heard of it. I don't think I've ever watched it.
Inner Space is apparently a good movie. Something he's known for, but I never saw it.
Okay.
Great Balls of Fire is just music videos.
I tell you, I'm trying to figure out where
something
he got
to talk about.
From, and I can't.
Dragonheart. No.
We need the Parent Trap. There it is. Like we need our elders.
All right, there's
to tell
three
us
movies
how
right here.
Right there, bam, bam, bam.
From 98 to 2000.
And then the Rookie.
If you want to put, there's Rookie. Okay, so that's four movies out of 116 credits. Five.
Day After Tomorrow, just because it's us.
The Express.
Never watched that one.
It's a good one. I don't watch it.
Vantage Point is not a bad movie, actually.
Okay. He was Grandpa Redbeard in SpongeBob.
Redbeard. That G.I. Joe movie I actually like. He's hardly in it, but I actually like it.
I'm guessing this is the updated Footloose.
This is the remake of Footloose. He's like the preacher person who doesn't want anybody to dance.
Movie 43 is just like a segment movie. It's like a funny.
Stupid. Yeah. Okay, I think you're right. I think.
The Dog's Purpose is one of those crying movies.
Okay, so I need to watch.
The Dog's Journey is another one of those churchy crying movies.
I think it is.
I'll tell you this, American Underdog clips have been coming up a lot on my TikTok, and it makes me kind of want to watch it.
You know what? Complete opposite. I see them, it makes me not want to watch it. I don't even know. Is he playing?
He's Dick Vermeil.
Oh, he's Dick Vermeil. Somebody else is Martz. Okay.
Who? No, he's Coach.
Okay.
Come on, Vin. Who else would play Coach?
I mean, I'm just saying, because the clip I watched the other day is Mike Martz yelling at him on the phone, but it's because he's the coordinator.
Chance Kelly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who the hell's Chance Kelly? What has he ever been in?
I've never seen this guy in my life.
Definitely looks like a Martz guy. Apparently, I was going to say, is he in The Last of Us and we just didn't notice?
No, that's just a thing. Billions. Okay.
Have you watched Billions?
No, I don't think I want to.
Well, it's about our head coach. It's about our owner.
About our owner, I know. But I just don't want to watch it.
Stripes is a classic.
Never.
I don't know. I think my question, the answer is who comes up to bat? Who's that? Who's up at the plate?
Who is... Okay, so fictional hitter.
Is it a fictional hitter, though?
Well, you're asking. Isn't that the question? I mean, Costner, again, is up there.
Yeah, but if he doesn't have John C. Reilly as a catcher, is he any good?
No. Hmm. But hitting-wise, he was pretty good. He has led. He had the most home runs in minor league history. In Bull Durham.
That's right.
What's his other? Oh, Field of Dreams. He doesn't really play baseball. He just has catch.
He just builds it. If he doesn't build it, they don't come. So kind of. He's basically the owner.
Yeah, pretty much. So he's the owner. He's the starting pitcher, and he's the catcher. Okay. In his life.
He's like doing what Will Ferrell did.
Yeah. That was I watched it and I didn't really like it too much.
It was kind of stupid.
Yeah, it was weird.
Why is there no photo of the ballot?
Oh, we want to do a Hall of Fame ballot?
I don't want 2022.
I mean, they're all over the place. Just go on Twitter. Even if it's somebody who's marked up, it doesn't really.
Here we go. I got the 2024 up. All right. Here we go. So interesting is I forgot who tweeted it out. But so you know these rules better than I do.
Uh-huh.
You keep. That would be the matchup you want to see.
Not a bad one, Pedro Serrano.
That's the matchup you want to see.
That's what I'm trying. I'm trying to think like who's like a classic fictional hitter.
Who was the guy on the White Sox?
Yeah, the dude on the bad guy in the second one, and the bad guy in the first one. The big dude from Rookie of the Year who was in the Mets.
Right.
That guy.
Or technically, you could, if you want to go fictional but real, Ken Griffey Jr. from Little Big League.
Ken Griffey Jr. from Little Big League is a cheat code, quite literally.
Yeah, but they ran the greatest play of all time to get him out at second, so it's okay.
Still a balk.
You're not allowed to do that.
No, you have to throw the ball to first if you step to first.
Do you think that? I want the ball. Balks. When did it become a thing?
Yeah. Jack Parkman was the bad guy in 2. Which is 2 is a significant step down from 1. It's fine, but it's a significant. And then 3 doesn't even count.
Well, yeah, isn't 3 the one when they go to the
they're in the minors.
They're in the minors
and like nobody, like a couple of them are in it, but like nobody really is in it.
Okay, so when did
they start balks? I don't know, the 60s?
I can't believe I'm looking this up right now.
Why? I mean, it was definitely before that movie
it's
came out.
It was introduced in 1898. Yeah. Okay, because I was kind of thinking that rule created the balks. that movie created balks.
No.
Like, I don't think we can let anybody do that.
This is, if you know Walter Goggins, he's in Major League 3, Back to the Minors. He's a
yes,
beast
he is.
In that movie. That's up there.
You know what's funny? I saw something recently. He is, yeah. And I think you will enjoy this comment, one of the more underrated actors in Hollywood. Why have you seen his list of his things list. He's done? Like,
No. I don't. His show He had a good show for a while. My aunt and uncle watch a lot of things. Like they'll watch almost anything.
So he was just he was the guy in Justified. That's the one you're thinking of. I know what? The one you're Justified.
Justified is the show I think of when I think of him.
Yep. He was
and he's gonna be
he's been in Sons of Anarchy. He did a lot of episodes.
When was he in Sons of Anarchy?
He was later in the seasons, but he was in Sons of Anarchy. He was in Ant-Man and Wasp.
Maybe I skipped that season. Because I skipped Vice like Principal's the last
good
season.
Show. He's a voice in American Dad. Justify. He did six episodes all time. He was a tranny in Sons of Anarchy.
Maybe I just blocked out that he was in that.
Django Unchained.
Yeah, see, I don't remember him.
The Shield is always one of those.
He blends in very well in all these things. Because he doesn't stick out, you know?
The Shield is always a show that my dad said, if there's ever a show for you to watch, he always says, if there's a show for you to watch that you need to watch, it's The Shield.
The Shield.
That was like right when Rescue Me was out and things like right. that.
Rescue Me, I know, was a good one. The Rescue Me is one that I would go back and watch.
I never saw Justified, though, but I've heard good things about it. Anyway. So, like I was saying before on this was...
Hit me.
So, how does it work? If you, whatever you had the year before, you continue, you keep that, and then you get an extension? Like, if you're at 30% last year and get another 20% this year, you jump up to 50% on your ballot, right?
No. Everything, it's fresh every year.
Okay.
But the way if you look on like the Twitter accounts that track this stuff, they'll keep track of if you lost or gained votes. Because usually, if somebody votes for you 1 year, they're going to continue to vote for you, right? That's usually, right? And if they... The idea is once people get elected in, some other people will add you because, you know, somebody else is gone. We have talked about this at nauseam that the process is kind of broken. You can pick 10 people, but people don't always pick 10 people. And that's valid. You don't, you know, but people will send in blank ballots. But no, everything, every year is fresh and it's, you gain, like, the guys who get in, like, on second, third, fourth ballots, you gain, I don't know, 10-ish percent a year is like a normal jump, I think. But you have to have 5% to stay on the ballot.
Right. So I've heard a report that Billy Wagner is at, like, 80% this year.
Okay. That's, I think...
In. Isn't that in?
80 is in. But also, if you the other thing with the reports online and like the Twitter accounts that actually do like very well tracking it, the number always drops, 8 to 10% from
what is the
whatever they get
in though?
The end. Because they're not all public,
right? Which is I thought they changed.
I don't think they changed. I think it's all, you know, it's up to you if you want to release it or not. So 75 is in. I think he gets in eventually. He's not definitely not on his last year.
Here's an interesting.
He's pain. On like, oh, Sheffield's the only one in their last year, I think. Yeah.
So this is as of January 18th at 16:15 PST. So whatever so
that is 4:15 Pacific Standard Time, which is so like an hour.
Couple hours ago.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's 4:15, so
it's 7:15 our time, so it's like
about an hour. Well, about an hour ago before recording. Yeah. So we're looking at the, and this is based on ballot. So basically Beltran, Meyer and Helton are going in. Is basically what this is like.
Essentially, yes. Helton should have enough there where he won't drop. Wagner's number might drop below with these. See, there's 11 unverified anonymous. We still have half of the ballots to know, and that number will go up.
You mean to tell me nobody's voted for Jose Reyes?
Zero people have voted for Jose Reyes. Not surprised.
Adrian Gonzalez, that's an interesting one to get 0 votes.
I am surprised that somebody like him gets 0 and somebody like Wright gets 7%. I look at them as fairly comparable at their peaks. But, yeah, so Wright needs to get some more love to stay on. Like I said,
this is also Wright's first ballot. So remember, let's say you take the top four on this off. Beltre, Mayer, Helton, Wagner off. Right? A couple other guys are going to fall off because it's their final year.
Right.
But again, now you have David Wright getting up there now.
But he's got to get 5 to stay on. And if that, like we talked about, if these numbers drop once things go public, he might drop below the 5%. It's possible. We don't know. I hope he at least stays on. I don't think he's getting in. I've resigned the fact to that. It's not long enough. Yeah, David. But if he stays on for a while, that'd be nice.
Oh, Amazon. There's actually a website here. I'm looking at guys that are going to be added next year.
Sure.
Guaranteed 100% Hall of Famer, Carlos Gomez.
Of course.
Melky Cabrera, automatically out. You could already get him off the ballot. You don't even put him on it. Because he's steroid guy. And if you're going to keep all the other guys off, you're going to keep him off.
Well, that gets interesting. Well, that's like, so they're talking about Sheffield's up here. Sheffield is getting held out because of suspicion of steroids. Was he even in the Mitchell report? I don't remember. Andrew Jones needs to be in. To me, that's Jones, Beltran.
Next year you're adding Melky, David Freese, Carlos Gomez. Cargo gets added next year.
Okay, he's not getting in, but that's a name.
Granderson.
Love him, but probably not.
King Felix is probably in my opinion.
He's definitely getting there.
Edwin Jackson may get like much later in time, maybe.
No.
Maybe. 17 seasons, a long time.
It is a lot.
I mean, if you're going to put him in, though, you got to put him like first ballot because Edwin Jackson's a 107 win, 133 loss guy. And everyone always says Eli Manning's a 500 football player.
Is Bonds off the ballot?
Yes.
Okay.
They're all off the ballot. Pretty sure they're all off the ballot. You got Adam Jones next season. Ian Kinsler, Francisco Lariano.
So nobody's all guys, really.
Russell Martin. All, like,
King Felix.
What's your thoughts on Brian McCann?
I don't think so.
I don't think Dustin Pedroia is a first year Hall of Famer, but I think eventually he can get the votes to get in.
No, none of the guys you're saying jump out to me that they're getting in year one.
Hanley Ramirez?
No.
Oh, never mind. Here you go. 100%. Itro is on the ballot.
Okay, cool. There's one.
CC?
That's probably two. Maybe not first year, but I think CC is a Hall of Famer.
Eventually. Yeah, eventually a Hall of Famer.
I agree.
If you only judge him by his years in Colorado, Tulo is on next year's list. The most annoying human being in the world, Ben Zobrist, is on next year's ballot.
Oh my god, Ben Zobrist.
The following year. Oh, look, we already have 2026 guys. Here we go. Ready? Ryan Braun. Shin Shu Chu is going to be on that list. Gotta put him in. Edwin Encarnacion. Oh my god. Can they put him in just so we can see the Instagram live video of him, Reyes, and Hanley just hanging out?
No, thank you.
Gio Gonzalez? No.
Nope.
Alex Gordon, no.
No.
Here's an interesting name for you. Cole Hamels.
Immediately, top of my head, no. But, that could change.
Hunter Pence?
No.
I don't see Murphy is going to be on that list, but I don't see him as a Hall of Famer.
I don't think so.
If you're going to put Murphy, you got to put Neil Walker in with him, of course.
Yeah. Of course. Wait, okay. Okay, so Jim Leland's getting in. I'm just looking.
Jim Leland's in because he got that, like, manager vote thing.
It's weird. Okay, maybe the ballot you had isn't. Because A-Rod should still be on the ballot. And I didn't see him on the ballot that you posted.
Do I still have that up is the question. A-Rod's on the ballot.
Okay.
That I had.
Okay. I thought I
just... Yeah. This is the ballot. So yeah, he's up here. Gary Sheffield's the only guy on his list.
Okay, there he was. I missed him. He's up there. Okay. Got it.
Come on. He's on top of
No. He wasn't on the website that you were... I don't think he was listed in the website that you had up. That's what it was.
No, he's on here. 39.5%.
Okay. Well, then he should get more. I mean, that's... He's not.
Yeah, but again, that comes down to if you're not voting Bonds and Clemens in, you're not voting a guy who lost the whole year because of steroids in.
I know. Okay, so we went over who's going in. So probably Beltre.
Beltran's going to get in eventually. They say because he's close this year.
He's in. He's getting in. 3,000 hits. He's getting in.
He's at. According to the 66 point, what's the number that's needed to get in?
Oh, I was talking about Adrian Beltre. Beltran, that's what I'm saying. When Beltre's off and Maurer's off and Helton's off, maybe Beltran gets so next year because you're only adding Ichiro. So Ichiro gets in, and then they'll do Beltran and the other guy, and maybe Wagner. And then there was one more guy at the top of the list.
Joe Maurer.
Okay, well, he's going to get it, probably get in. Oh, Andrew Jones.
My question to you next is, what hat does Wagner get? Beltran's a no-hat guy. We've already discussed this.
I'm firmly on Beltran as a no-hat guy, the way his career went.
Because you're either going a Met or a Royal. You can argue Astros, but he got in trouble with the Astros, so I would assume they try and skip it. So that's how you make it fair with the Astros, by giving him no hat.
He does. Does he work for the Mets? He doesn't work for the Mets anymore.
I think they fired him.
Okay. They did fire him. Stat-wise, Wagner is an Astro. He played for them years. From... What?
More years with them, too.
Yes. He played a total of 9 seasons with them. One was just like a couple of appearances. So really 8 seasons with them, and then it was only 4 with the Mets, 2 with Philly, 1 with Atlanta, 1 with Boston. So he would be an Astro. I think that's a solid Astro.
Okay. Beltran's 50-50 Mets Royals, and that's why you go no hat. Because if it wasn't for the Royals, we're not giving him the money he has. And then he really bursted onto the scene being a Met those first couple of years. I'll be honest, if you have to give him a hat, I would go Royals. Over Mets.
If you're looking at it stat wise, all the Mets stats are better. If we're just being completely honest, it's more homers, more RBIs. Less
as a Met, it felt like.
What?
He played. Didn't he play less games as a Met?
No, he played more games. Because his first year as a Royal, he played 14 games. So it's really only 6 years.
That was like
Royal.
A September call. That was a September.
Yeah, it's really only 6 years as a Royal and 7 as a Met. And it's really only 5.5 years because he got traded to Houston the last year. No, he got traded to Houston.
We traded him.
Okay, so it's really 6.5 with us and 5.5 with them, really. Because we traded him, too.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, if you're picking a hat...
You could give him Astros because he had the best postseason numbers as an Astro.
If you're picking a hat... So this goes back to, like, Piazza, right? Slightly. They don't let you pick your hat outright. But if you give a realistic, like a real
You can give an argument.
They'll take it. Like, they just say you can't pick your hat because they don't want what happened with, I think it was Dave Winfield or whatever. Somebody tried to get, like, paid to pick somebody's hat they were on for, like, a year or something. If you have a legit case to be on that team and you want to be with that team, like Piazza was, then they give you what you want.
Right.
they just hold it out there so that you can't do stupid shit.
Well, that was always something that the Met Fins always argued with Gary Carter. Why was he in as an expo? Everybody knows it was because that was the first year of the Nationals, was the year he got into the Hall of Fame.
But also, I think he picked it. Like, I if you were him, his numbers are better as an expo. To me, that doesn't. He was only
the Mets. But he got the important thing with the Mets.
He did. But he was with the Expos for a long time.
Which is why Beltran's going to pick the Astros, because he got a ring with the Astros.
That is possible. But it's also the reason he got fired. As and manager. Suspended. And suspended. Well, I don't know if he really got suspended, actually.
Well, we fired him before he got to live on his live out his suspension.
Did they hire him back? Does he do anything right now? Or did the Yankees hire him?
You know who should hire him? Is the Islanders.
the Islanders?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Let's hire him to be the coach. Can't be any worse.
The Mets rehired him. As on February 6, 2023, he left the Yankees broadcast team and joined the Mets front office.
Yeah, so, I knew that for last year, but didn't they fire him? Didn't he step away or something for this year, or is he still in the front office?
It's not on Wikipedia, so I don't know. I'm going to say he still is with them.
He is. He's the special assistant to the president of baseball operations.
Okay, so then I could see him picking the Mets for a Hall of Fame.
Because, you know.
So he's Dwight Schrute.
So he's the assistant
to the general manager.
My question is, Mets-wise, since you brought it up.
Sure.
How bad until John Gibbons is the official is the manager? He's the bench coach, so it's only a matter of how bad does Mendoza have to be to make to get this?
We were talking about kind of what we think of the team in our group chat the other day, and like it's so still expensive. I still don't remember, like,
Tommy coming off shoulder surgery is going to be better than all these guys out of the bullpen
stuff. I almost forgot they have a first year manager. Like, we talking about it at work, and I was like, I forgot he was the manager, and I have no idea what he's going to do. Like, I wish
Max was on with us right now so he can laugh at us that we took not only just a first year manager, but a guy who was the bench coach for Aaron Boone. Like, this is, we brought a guy who learned from Aaron Boone how to manage.
Yeah, but. Excuse me.
But then again, their third base coach was our horrible manager, so it all kind of works out evenly, I guess.
That's true. They did. Right. We're just stealing each other's, because we took Chavez from them too.
Right.
It's a lot. It's a lot of Listen.
It's a lot easier to get a guy to just stay in the same city to do these stupid jobs.
I'm sure he'll be fine. I'm not expecting that much from this season anyway.
We're going in this season. We're the Brewers. We're the NL East Brewers. We're winning the division this year because that's what the Brewers do.
There's no chance that happens.
Yes, there is.
But,
you know, Harper and all the pitchers in Philly and Atlanta all need Tommy John surgery.
Well, here's what's going to happen. The Mets are going to win 85 games and have to go to LA for a five game series and beat the Dodgers. And
yeah, but who are we going to beat in the three game series first? How?
The Brewers, probably. if we're the sixth seed, we would play the second division winner. So we got to get the five seed to play the worst division winner, which would be the Brewers.
Excuse me, the Eagles tried to do that same thing this year in football, and we see what happens.
The Eagles are an absolute.
You know, people are giving me shit for, like, being happy that the Eagles and Cowboys are out, but, like, there's nothing I enjoy more than knowing that the Cowboys still need VCRs to watch their last Super Bowl.
I mean, I'm not going to say I don't gloat. I was thrilled last year when Kirk Cousins threw a 4-yard pass on 4th and 8 to lose to the Giants. It was hysterical. So, like, yeah.
In fairness, he threw it to his tight end, who was supposed to be good enough to get by that guy.
I mean, the tight end, he is a good tight end.
To get by the safety, so.
But it was still hysterical. So I don't blame you for being happy that that happened.
Listen, if the Lions lost, if the Rams got the ball back and went down the field or went for two and take the lead against the Lions,
right? I wouldn't have been as happy. Really? The Lions are different. If the Bears and Vikings lose, I'm happy. The Lions.
Lions have been so bad for so long. You're kind of like, you kind of want to pull for them, but you kind of don't want to pull for them. I'm very excited for the Lions to host you in the NFC Championship game.
I would be thrilled if that. I'm in a very weird spot. Let's get to football a little bit. I'm in a very weird spot with the Packers.
Okay. I've been, every time my boy at work is a big Niner fan, brings up the Niners, I go, all you need is love. Bump, but no, no, no. He just starts laughing and walks out of the room.
That's what it is. My uncle, who I was watching the game with, and my dad, is a huge Beatles fan. So, like, that was, like, a good omen. He's like, oh, that's a good omen. I was like, I think it is. Because they played it after, I think it was in the second quarter they played it after.
I mean, the game was over at that point. The Cowboys made all the love they could get.
Also, it's a weird feeling.
Before you get to your point, I would like to give you a shout out.
Okay.
For going up so big that you stopped caring enough to let CeeDee Lamb get 90 yards, because I had a boost parlay of Aaron Jones 70 yards rushing, which he got in the first quarter.
Easy.
And CeeDee Lamb 90 yards receiving, and CeeDee Lamb had 5 yards at half. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to bed because I'm not going to win this.
Did he finish with 90 yards?
He finished. I don't know what he finished with, but I went to go look because on Saturday, I had a boost parlay that ended in the first half in the Browns-Houston game.
Okay.
It was Stroud and Flacco each throwing for 250 and a touchdown. They both had a touchdown in the first 10 minutes of the game, and they both had 220 yards basically at halftime.
Wow.
One of my friends had Flacco throwing for 270. Flacco threw 275. Flacco threw for 274 in this game.
Oh my god!
He lost his parlay because of one.
He threw for about 120 for the other team.
CD ended up with 9 for 110.
Okay, that doesn't surprise.
Which I didn't know until Monday morning when I looked at my account. I was like,
what felt like a higher number than it should be.
So okay, so how are you feeling, Ben? This is your favorite team to play in the playoffs.
Well, that's the thing. I'm still on.
You're still waiting to tackle Kaepernick. I know.
I'm still on this is house money, and I don't think they're going to win. I didn't think they were going to win last week. I don't think they're going to win this week. If they win this week, whoever they play, now the pressure goes on. Because they already beat the Lions in Detroit. They lost to the Bucks the game they played them. But they could beat the Bucks. So it's like, I'm still at a point where
anybody can beat the Bucs except for the Eagles. Right,
where I think they're going to lose this weekend. The Niners just have our number, but you never know. My worries are, and also the other thing is, this is extremely like nitpicky. If they win a championship this year, the way like the season has gone, it'll feel cheap because I gave up halfway through the season. I was like, this is a disaster.
You lost to Tommy DeVito.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like there was at no point was I like, this is the team. And you know, when you have one of those teams, you get a little more invested and sometimes then you take a little step back.
So I'm going to bring
a little step back.
I'm going to bring this up to you because I haven't brought it up yet.
Okay.
I just find it interesting that your last Super Bowl run
was very similar.
You were the sixth seed.
Yeah. Now,
and had to go through Philly.
First
so
time
beat the NFC East.
And the NFC East champion was the first game.
Right. Then you had to beat Atlanta in Atlanta.
I had to beat Atlanta in Atlanta. So one seed.
And they right.
And then so it would be
the Bears in Chicago.
NFC North opponent on the road. Right.
To go to the Super
Bowl. And then in the Super Bowl, it would be AFC North opponent, which was the Steelers, could be the Ravens.
Yeah.
That's
it's like
the blueprint's laid out.
I was thinking about that, and I'm like, there's no way that they do this exactly the same. Like, how much more Aaron Rodgers can Jordan Love be?
He can't. The problem, and the real problem is,
you don't have Charles Woodson playing defensive back. Here. Correct.
That Falcon team was a bunch of frauds.
The Falcons have always been a bunch of frauds for years.
Correct. The Niners are not.
Until they win the Super Bowl next year with Belichick.
Right. And you said CeeDee Lamb had 100 and something yards. Well, that was mostly when the game was over.
And also Alexander got hurt.
Alexander did get hurt. He's questionable for Sunday. So hopefully he can play.
I feel like you're at the point where you're going. Unless whatever's hurting is falling off your body, you're in, bro.
When he got hurt, if you were watching, he was in a lot of pain.
So I didn't watch.
It felt like his ankle was the issue, and it felt like his ankle kind of went, but we don't know.
When I heard Sean Clifford was in the game, I stopped watching, and then I found out that Sean Clifford had to be pulled from the game because the defense forgot to play.
He did, correct. that was the end got messy, and then there was an onside kick that was apparently close, but I had already left my uncle's house, so I was listening.
When they lined up for the onside kick, did you start thinking of the guy jumping in front of Jordy Nelson?
I didn't watch it. I got a text from Danny that said Seattle flashbacks ? And I was like, they must have just kicked an onside kick. So the Dallas game was actually a game. The person they couldn't stop was Jake Ferguson. George Kittle's really good. Yeah, George Kittle's really good. So I'm not worried about – I'm not really thrilled about that. That's a little worrisome. And – Tony Pollard ran well when they gave him the ball, but they just ran out of time to give him the ball because it was 20-0 before you could blink. That's not going to happen this time. McCaffrey's really good. I don't see how we beat them, but who knows? You know, anything's possible.
It's really hard to not see San Francisco in the Super Bowl.
I know. They're just really good.
Looking at it, it's hard to not see San Francisco in the Super Bowl.
My hope here, and it's not what happened with Dallas because they were playing straight through. San Francisco hasn't played a game essentially in 2 weeks.
Right, because they didn't play week 18.
They didn't play anybody week 18, and obviously they had a bye. So if you're rusty for a quarter and the Packers come out like they did and it's 17-0 before you can blink, you can maybe hold on from there. But so they got to do the same thing, hopefully win the toss, take the ball, on the road, like, get it going. If it's close early, I don't think it's happening.
Okay, so McCaffrey was full go in practice this week.
Okay.
That was going to be my question.
I didn't even know he's always banged up, but I didn't.
He got a calf injury late in the game in week 17, and they pulled him.
I'm surprised he was even playing.
Because week 18 is the last week of the season.
I know, but.
Week 17, they didn't have the one seed wrapped up.
I thought they did.
That was the week they had to wrap it up. That was the game they wrapped it up. They went in and wrap up, and it was also at home, so he wanted to play. He played like three quarters and had a calf injury. And they said right away, after the game, Kyle was like, yeah, he's not playing next week. Just don't even ask me any questions.
Yeah, they didn't play anybody.
Right, nobody played in that game. Which, in the Rams game. Yeah, nobody. It becomes. So I was thinking about this also before, right? Would you consider offensive linemen like middle relievers?
In what way?
Because I got asked this question today, and it made me think of other positions, right? It's kind of off the games topic, of course. So one of the guys I work with, son, works with us also, right? Kid was born in like 2002.
Okay, got it.
So like, he's like talking about, oh, Khalil Mack, one of the greatest defense players of all time. And me and my buddy Pete were just like to his son, we're like, shut up. If you ever start a defensive conversation without Lawrence Taylor being the best player of all time,
sure.
There's no conversation.
Yeah, so I mean, Khalil Mack.
And then I told him, I was like, listen, a lot of times, you know, when I talk to people about those days, it's always Lawrence Taylor. A big list of nothing, like a blank list. Mm. And then Ronnie Lott is really that second great defender of that time.
Of overall defensive players. Yeah, sure.
Of overall defensive players. And he's a big Niner fan, my friend Pete. So that was how that came up. And I mentioned to him, I was like, Ronnie Lott's one of the best. And I go, even though he was one of those guys that was carried by Mark Bavaro down the field on that Monday night, and he started hysterical laughing. He goes, Mark Bavaro's the greatest tight end your team that you've ever seen play on your team. I was like, no.
Jeremy Shockey
would probably be the best I've personally ever seen.
Sure.
Not of my team all time, that I've personally watched.
Bavaro retired kind of before.
On that 90s team.
Yeah.
Bavaro.
Retired when you were young, because he was on the 90 team, I think.
He retired and... He was actually a Brown in 92 and an Eagle in 93, 94.
Okay. And so then, right.
He was on the Giant 90 team. He missed 91. But still, like, from what I actually watched, I would argue Shockey is the best of all time.
Sure.
Of me watching games. So it made me think, you know, on my drive home, like, because I was listening to the In the Heights podcast, the Kelce brothers, right?
Got it.
And I would say Jason is the greatest center we've ever watched play the game.
He's on the list.
But then I started thinking, who else would I put on my, like, my all-time watched offensive line? And the first two names that came to my mind was John Runyon from the Eagles.
Okay.
Played tackle forever for them.
Uh-huh.
And the other guy would probably, the other tackle would be Trent Williams.
Okay.
And then I started thinking of guards, and all I could think about is Chris Knee, the guys that I've watched on my team.
Right.
So would you consider offensive linemen more like relief pitchers? If you know their names, they're either really, really bad or really, really good.
Sure. Yeah. That's, I think.
Unless they're on your team.
That's an accurate description of, because, like, you're going through lists. Well, I can only think of the really, really good guys and the really, really bad guys and the guys on my team. Like, if I'm thinking naming offensive tackles, it's like Eric Flowers.
Awful.
And awful. And like Trent Williams.
Here's a name you probably don't even remember. Luke Pettigrew was a Giant forever. Wore number 77.
It pops up in my head.
Every game, it was either, if it wasn't a flag on the defense, it was a false start or holding on number 77. Every game.
Right.
But then I also think back to my Super Bowl run. It's Sean O'Hara, Kareem McKenzie, Chris Snee, David Deal. Right. You know, like, David Deal can arguably be one of the best tackles I've ever watched play in my life, because I watched him 16 weeks a year.
Well, like, so you mentioned Kelce, and I don't think he was on the Super Bowl team, but Jeff Saturday is the other center that comes to mind.
If I'm gonna make a roster for my team, those two guys would be my centers.
Right. So in our lifetime, I think so.
I don't think he was on your Super Bowl team.
No, he came the next year in 2011.
He was on the Broncos. He was on the Colts Super Bowl team.
Yes, he was on the Colts Super Bowl team, and he played one last year of his career. He came to Green Bay. I think it was 2011.
Right, and he was in the Pro Bowl.
It was 2012, yeah.
And he was in the Pro Bowl, and they had him go out to have one play with Peyton, so he can have Peyton can play one last down together.
Guards, I think of like Larry Allen in Dallas, but again, that's because I've watched a lot of Cowboy games in my life.
Right.
Okay. But he was really good. Their guards now, like Zach Martin is really good. Tyron Smith, their tackle is really good. So, like, again,
It's the guys you watch. Like, you would have, what's his name, who's hurt all the time now? Bakhtiari would
Bakhtiari be on your list. He's a great tackle.
Right. I mean, he would probably be on your list of greatest guys you've ever watched play.
There are a bunch of other guys like TJ Lang and Brian Bulaga that were Packer offensive linemen. I wouldn't call them all time greats, but they were very good.
But if you're going to talk about guys that in your time of watching, those are the names that are going to come up because of them.
Correct. You're right. And I'd rather you not know my offensive lineman names. I agree with you.
Well, I want to know my offensive lineman names. I don't want to know them for the wrong reasons. I want to know them because they're beasts and, like,
sure.
Like my 2007 offensive line, you know.
But that's also a unit. Like, those guys were fine individually, but played together as a unit very well.
I mean, Sean O'Hara was the GOAT.
Like, there's no Hall of Famers in that group. No offense to them.
No, I wouldn't put... yeah, but, probably not.
But like I said, they played together very well.
Creed McKenzie was on that team. David Deal, tight end, was a tackle. Mm-hmm. Snee was a guard. Rich Seibert. The reason why people knew who Rich Seibert was in general was because he wore number 69. And for most of, like, the 2006 season, the season before they won the Super Bowl, was 69 is eligible, 69 is eligible.
Oh,
and when you have a shitty team, what's funnier than listening to the ref say, 69 is now eligible?
No, it's funny. It's very funny.
So, also, shout out Brian Brennan, who wears number 69, because also Rich Seibert is also a beast in general. Rich Seibert, I will never forget, is the first air cast on field I ever saw.
Really?
Yeah, that I remember. But, like, yeah. And I remember Evan in front of me going, oh, snap, that's an air cast case. Something's broken. And I was like, what's an air cast? He's like, they're literally going to wrap him in a case and then put air in it to try and keep his body part together. I was like, that's disgusting.
Yeah. That, I mean, the one that comes to mind is Ruben Tejada.
Well, yeah, but still, like, I'm talking about the first one I remember.
Yeah.
Is him. And then he came back from it and became one of our top tackles, our guards on the team. Even when he wasn't eligible, he was still out there. The rest of the weekend was fun. I did watch a lot of that KC Miami game.
They were all kind of... They weren't great games.
I mean, to me they were, especially when the Cowboys lost and the Eagles lost. They were a lot of fun.
They weren't competitive games for the most part. The Lion game was competitive, but like, and the Steeler-Bill game was relatively competitive.
Towards the end, yeah. But then again, the weather also played a big factor in making them more competitive than they should have been.
It did, yeah. But like, the Steelers got it to a touchdown. They were down 24-17 if they could have made a stop. You know, it was right there.
I said to people at work, I said, Watt plays in that game, there's a difference. You get 100%. A stop. You get 100%. A stop in that game. And Romo said it early in the game, the Steelers were like 1 in 30-something lifetime since Watt's been drafted in games he doesn't play.
It's not good.
So you have that problem. And then on top of it, right? They're saying they're getting more snow this weekend. Like, they've already put in the request. Hey, come down to the stadium. We need you Saturday.
Bring your shovel. Coming, I think.
So it's like, which again goes back to the most interesting point of this will be the first ever road playoff game for Patrick Mahomes.
First one.
It doesn't include a Super Bowl, which is neutral site. Remember, correct. Even though he was the road guy in two of them.
I'm sure he had to be a road one of them.
Two of them. It was two of them I saw. The Tampa one is the only game he was a home team. He was the home guy. The quote-unquote home team, but he was technically not.
So the one he lost, he was the home team.
Yeah.
He won the two road ones.
Yeah. Because last year the Eagles were green.
And the
Niners? Niners were white. But the Niners were red.
I honestly don't remember.
If I remember correctly, the Niners were red. But still, like, I said this also at work today. I'm going to say it here on the podcast. KC win. Bills get new head coach. Because this is it. This is you have no more excuses after this. You're the home team.
You're not on the road. How they win?
I don't know. Because what else can you make as an excuse? What's going to be an excuse?
Right, I agree. I agree. If I were them, I would do it. If you're not getting the Chiefs now, by far the worst team Pat's ever had on the road. If you're not beating them now, you're not beating them.
Yeah.
Right. You're at home, and they have probably the worst roster they've had. Definitely the worst offense they've had.
I did see a thing that said, how crazy would it be that the Bills, was it last year or the year before, losing overtime, petitioned to change the playoff overtime rules. This game goes to overtime. Bills win the toss, get the ball, go down the field, score a touchdown. Have to give the Chiefs the ball. Because remember, in the playoffs.
Is that the rule now? I honestly don't
know. In the postseason, no matter what, no matter how you score, both teams get the ball.
I'm going to look.
But can you imagine the Chiefs go down the field, Andy Reid goes for two after scoring 6 points and wins the game?
Oh, that would be great.
Play regular season, it's touchdown to win, field goal to give the other team the ball. Playoffs, it's automatically both teams get the ball.
Yes. NFL overtime change in 2022 to allow both teams to possess the ball in the extra period, specifically during the playoffs. Previously, if receiving the team to a touchdown on the first drive, the game will be over. Okay. Got it. That would be funny.
Again, the regular season, it's...
It's
either you score a touchdown and win, or you're kicking a field, or the other team's picking it off and you win. Pick six and win. Safety win.
Right. Defensive score.
If the defensive score ends the game, or you scoring a touchdown, or you kick a field goal, then you're kicking off.
Correct.
And the other team gets the ball. You need to get six in order to
prevent. And then once you kick a field goal, it's then sudden death. So they
can if the other team goes four and out, the game's over. You won.
Or if they score a touchdown, they win. That's it.
Right. If they score six, it's over. If they score a field goal, then it continues. Yeah. Then it's next point wins.
Then it's next point wins. It should be in a good. I think it'll be a pretty good weekend of football.
That's what they should do. Especially when it comes to like December kickoff. Kickoff game, just field goals. Deep field goals, 50-yard field goals. Whoever can kick the most 50-yard field goals in 75-mile-an-hour swirling winds in these buildings, wins.
We'll make this last point, and then we can go because we pretty much covered everything. Would you be in favor of bringing college and overtime to the NFL?
I've always been in favor of it.
I think so too.
But, however, you start at the 45, not the 25.
They start at the 25 or 35?
I'm trying to think back to how long.
I honestly don't know.
I'm trying to think of how long our drive versus Alabama was. I can't remember. Yeah.
I thought it's the 35 because it was like the edge of field goal range. I would put it in midfield, to be honest.
I'm trying to figure out how long that touchdown run was. Well, it wouldn't really be. It was a 17-yard touchdown run but what was the play before that is the question.
Then I would assume that's the 25.
Because if I remember correctly, it was second down. If I recall correctly, it was second down going into that play. Full play.
Yeah, 25.
So yeah, it is the 25.
So I would put it at the 40 and just do that.
I'll do the 50. I'll give you the 50.
Well, the 50, whatever. I just think it's a lot more entertaining.
But you also have to have other rules involved. You also have other rules. Like, so example, in college, right? Mm-hmm. The first set, let's say Alabama scores that touchdown. Let's say Melrose gets
it. Right. Correct.
Kicks the extra point, ties the game. Now, they switch sides of the field. Step one.
You do it again.
Alabama gets the ball first and do it again.
Right.
Right? Let's say both teams score touchdowns again. Whatever. Both kick the extra points, tied again, flip sides, but Michigan gets the ball first. Starting in that third possession of overtime, you're no longer allowed to kick an extra point.
Right. You have to go for two.
You have to go for two every time. So how do you make that into the NFL? Do you just take extra points out completely in the NFL?
The worry with the NFL is they don't want it to go too long. That's why overtime is capped, stuff like that. I would do one overtime
regular
session. It's regular. And then after the first one, you have to go for two.
You have to go for two after that. Okay.
Yeah.
They should. You know what they should do? No field goals allowed at all. You're not even allowed to kick field goal. Fourth down, you got to go for it.
If you want to do that, then you can start at the 30. It doesn't matter. Because I'm saying, if you start at the 35 or you start at the 40. You start at the 40, the Ravens are in field goal range already. Or then right. The Cowboys are in
most, field goal most range. Teams are in field goal range already for right. The most
a
part.
Lot of guys can kick a 57-yard field goal. Or you run the ball twice and you kick in a 53-yard field goal, right? It's like it's nothing.
Right.
So I that's why I push it back a little bit, but I think it would make a lot more sense. I think it's a lot more exciting. And it's relatively fair. You know, it's not like super fair, but it's fair enough. It's not like a shootout. Like it's fair. Fairer than a shootout is in hockey.
Everything's fairer than a shootout in hockey.
Yeah.
You know, when the Islanders go to shootouts, you can just leave. There's no point to stay.
Sorokin stinks in the shootouts.
We don't even score goals. What's the difference if he stinks or not? We're not going to put fucking
there. We score some.
Our worst offensive player is the only one who scores in the shootout in Oliver Wahlstrom.
I don't want to get too deep into them because they're just so bad. He is the worst puck handler I've ever seen in my life. It's like he's trying to cut it in half with a butter knife. I don't know what he's doing.
I said to somebody, I said, we should call Chicago and see what they want for Bevilia. Bring Bevilia back. Call Parise. Bring him back. Send Engvall to the moon. Uh-oh. We got a visitor.
Oh, no!
Of course, when before he starts speaking, welcome, Snacks.
No!
Just want to tell you I love you. Love seeing your beautiful face on this wonderful Thursday night.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you.
So, Snacks may actually enjoy this a little bit also. So, it's actually funny you're on. MLB Network doing their top positions of each position right now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Pete comes in at 6 at first base. That's but dumb. Here's the surprise. Here's the kicker.
Way too high.
So, here's the kicker on this, right?
I'm listening.
In front of him at 5 is Yadi Diaz.
No.
No.
Number 4 is Paul Goldschmidt.
Okay, yeah.
That's fine, but he's on the downside. But
now here comes where my problem is. Number 3 is Matt Olson. So now you're going to tell me there's 2 players better than him. Okay, now I'm going to skip number 2 for a second to tell you who the number 1 guy is. And, okay, you could argue it, Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Okay. It's hard to argue that. He's still as elite as it gets. Now I want to know what number 2. Tell me number 2.
Bryce Harper.
The guy played
10 games at first base last year.
Well, he's the first baseman now. That's it. He's the first baseman.
Is that set in stone, though?
They let Hoskins walk, and his arm's dead. I think that's the plan. I think that's what they're saying.
I give it a month and a half before Hoskins is back in Philly, when they show him he's healthy and playing first base again, and Harper's the DH permanently.
I mean, that's where he belongs, right? Like, don't you just want his bat? You're
paying him that kind of money, you don't want his arm to fall off of him.
Well, yeah, he can't.
He had a moment in the playoffs. Did he get hit in the arm in the playoffs? Can you imagine that happens again?
I don't know.
You lose him for 3 months? What happens then?
But it was Tommy John, wasn't it?
I feel like you guys are going to hate me. I feel like Pete at 6 isn't.
Is that the worst number?
No,
I put him at 5. If you're counting Harper, I put him at 5.
So
Vin, I can agree with that.
Right. Okay, so behind him, 7, 8, 9, 10 is 7 is Vladdy Jr., 8 is Brandon Belt, 9 Vladdy is Christian Jr. Walker.
Stinks.
And 10 is Christian Chaos.
Brandon Belt's like 40 fucking years old.
And also, don't be mad about Vladdy Jr. right now. We have to be thankful for him because his younger brother is now in the system.
He stinks too. They put out one of those lists for second baseman. Ozzie Albies wasn't even on it. So
that was insane.
Don't count.
That was insane.
Yeah.
So clearly what we're saying is MLB Network knows nothing about baseball.
I needed to jump in. I was watching for a bit and I was like, I gotta jump in. And then I saw a notification on the Facebook group and I was like, God, let me get in there. But I only got a couple minutes because I gotta go to bed. I'm sure you guys talked about a couple months ago in speaking of Pete. I don't know who it was, ESPN or Bleacher Report put out like best power hitters and Pete wasn't on it.
Yeah.
I was floored. Flabbergasted. How?
I don't know. Because I remember seeing this. It was like top 10 and he wasn't even on the list. And it was like, you can say a lot of things about the guy.
Hitting bombs is not one of them.
No.
Even if he's 10, fine.
Sure. I mean, he deserves. He's not the best power hitter in the sport, but he does have the most home runs in the sport since he came into the league because Judge hasn't stayed on the field.
Correct.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So he's at least like three.
You would think, because, and then correct me if I'm wrong, I don't watch the Mets like you guys do, obviously, but he seems, with a 230 average, which again, all these guys have, I'm not shitting on him.
Right.
It's either really homer or strikeout at this point.
It's right, exactly, yeah. So that's a power hitter.
Right.
That's Adam Dunn. Like, Adam Dunn was a power hitter.
Literally, we laughed at Adam Dunn because it was either throw the ball high to him or throw it low and watch it go 500 feet.
Yeah, but Adam Dunn was great. Like, I love Adam
Dunn. It's crazy. And then it's like Giancarlo Stanton just throw a slider outside and it's...
What? Can I ask what his situation is right now in life?
Well, I hope...
He better be banging a lot of checks. He's got a lot of money.
Well, like, Cashman said... Like, he was like, yeah, he stinks. He can't stay healthy. And I was like,
yeah. So
what's your plan?
The plan is to trot him out until he gets hurt, fourth game of the year, misses 3 months, and you eat the contract until he's dead.
Okay.
So, you got to do the David Wright play. Just get the insurance to pay him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man.
You miss enough games, insurance plans. Snacks, wait. I have two quick questions.
They're at least building the roster as if he doesn't exist.
Yes.
Thankfully.
Yes. Yes. Like Verdugo, Soto, Judge, that's the outfield.
Right. Yeah. And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I don't think Stanton, like, if he say he was healthy for a full year, Stanton is going to only play 100 games because they're going to rotate that DH spot. Yes.
Right. They need to get Judge off his feet once in a while. And
correct. Yeah. And you know what? You got to get DJ off his feet too. He had that big toe injury a couple years ago. Like,
right. He hasn't been the same since that injury either.
He had a good second half last year, but that's really been it. What are your questions, right, Stevie?
Two quick Nick questions for you. One,
they're back.
Are you excited that James Dolan is getting in trouble with Harvey Weinstein? Oh my God. Is that like the best news to ever happen to the franchise?
So here is. I don't even know. This may be considered a hot take. I don't care.
You were there.
No, I don't care.
You don't care?
No, because I wish this happened 20 years ago before he ruined everything. Now the Rangers are really good. The Knicks are really good. He hasn't stepped in and done anything.
He hasn't done his shit recently.
But you know what I mean, Vin? Like, yeah. He hasn't done anything in the last 5 years.
He hasn't
all
had
teams
to.
Have been really good.
But he never really meddled.
20 years ago.
He never meddled with the Rangers. He always meddled with the Knicks.
He finally put guys in positions. Like, if you look at the Rangers, they have a front office that knows how to build the team. Well, he doesn't have to worry about it anymore.
He put Sather in charge 10 years ago and just fucking let it go.
Let him go.
20 years ago now, yeah.
Yeah.
And now he got somebody. But no
isn't he meddled with the Rangers. Isn't Drury doing it, man? I think Chris Drury is the GM there now. Right?
No, he was saying
back
before.
In the day.
Right, yeah.
I'm talking fucking 15 years ago. But now, like, he came in, fired everybody, got new people, and now I'm assuming he's letting them do their thing.
He's doing his thing. Chris Drury has full reign of whatever he wants to do. And he hired Davidson and Gorton, and they wrote that letter, like, we're going to rebuild, and they built a good team that couldn't get anywhere. And then he fired him. He's like, this is the wrong direction. He brought in Drury, and they're
fixing all the little pieces.
Right now. So,
isn't it crazy how many GMs in NHL now, from based on what we like guys that we grew up? Iserman's one of the best GMs in the league.
Rob Brindamore's like the best coach in the league.
And we're like all these guys, and then there's the Islanders who use Lane Lambert, who has 4 games of playing experience. And anyway, the other Nick question for you: who's the big name we're getting? They keep talking about there's a big name coming. But all I keep hearing is also the guy they just traded for was the big name because he's the big free agent this offseason that the Knicks wanted. So they were basically trading for him to kind of get the head start on getting him.
Before you answer this question, I'm attaching. Who are we trading in this essential trade?
Two-part question. Very good. So we're not going to get the big name
during
this season. I think we're going to trade for a Malcolm Brogdon or Bogdan Bogdanovich, somebody of that nature, because we need bench scoring desperately. Okay. You give up
another
Fournier. Like, you attach Fournier's salary at first to get a guy like that, or guys like that.
Okay.
And it helps your bench, helps your defense, whatever. I think the guy they really had their eyes on was Embiid, but the way the Sixers are playing, That doesn't look too promising for us. We needed the Sixers to collapse and Embiid be like, yeah, I want the fuck out of here.
Right.
Wasn't he a free agent during the offseason? Isn't his contract up?
No, there's no free agent worth blowing a max on. Dude, these guys are not going to free agency, these superstars. You have to get them via trade and they have to be disgruntled and ask out. Like he just signed
his big year. I forgot he just signed.
And like everybody's like Donovan Mitchell. All right, yeah, Mitchell is going to make us 130 points a game, but we also may give up 140 points most nights. That's the worst defensive backcourt in the world. I like a guy. This would be a nice splash, and I think it's available before the trade deadline. DeJounte Murray from Atlanta. He's a 20-point scorer, 5 rebounds a game, 5 assists a game, terrific defender. You put him in a lineup with OG, Jalen, Julius and Hartenstein, that is a hell of a starting 5. And then you put Dante on the bench as your punch scorer with Hart and Grimes. Well, they have to give up Grimes, but that's not a bad squad. And the team is good enough right now. Not good enough, but you know what I mean. Like
the East isn't a strong, deep conference.
No, they got two teams.
And you can get in there and play these two teams. So the 100%. Trivia question on the game tonight was, Brunson and Randall have 30 points each in the same game 7 times as Knicks. So which duo has the most games with 30 points each in NBA history?
I just saw the stats.
You saw the answer?
Quergan or something. Yeah, I just saw it.
Jerry, that's crazy, though. 77 times together?
Nuts.
Elgin Baylor and Jerry West.
Nuts.
But then again, nobody played defense then. But the other scary part about it is there was no three-pointers when they played.
Yeah. So it's
kind of balanced out, yeah.
Yeah, so it was probably like 80 to 79 every game, and they scored 75 of those points.
Right, exactly.
Boys, I can continue.
Appreciate
watching.
You as always.
It's been a pleasure. I'm glad I was finally home at a reasonable time to do this.
You're always welcome, buddy.
All right, adios. Fuck the Islanders.
That went a lot better than I thought it was going to go.
Always great. It's always good when we could avoid having him talk about the Packers.
He's got nothing to talk about now. He never has anything to talk about. The Giants fucking suck always. But he just still
he may
fine.
Pop back on right now while in the bathroom.
Go ahead. He hates the Giants more than anybody.
I can't talk about my teams right now. I may need a coach in college because we don't want to guarantee him anything.
You got troubles.
I wouldn't say so.
Oh,
Michigan.
Back so to.
It's a state-ran really school,
okay.
By the way, because the state owns it, so they have to actually approve.
Yeah,
they have already approved his contract. They have to approve the extra stuff he wants.
That's a lot. You mentioned the Bills before with firing McDermott. This would be the
year. Harbaugh's not going.
But that's what I'm saying. But it's Belichick. You don't. It's not. That's not going to happen. But sure, Vrabel, maybe Dan Quinn, Harbaugh, like. There's a lot of names right now, coaching-wise.
Dan Quinn.
And then you have those big guys. And then you could – so now even if you don't get one of those top 4, you got the pick of the litter of the high-prized offensive coordinators that you might want.
Right. You're calling Detroit and asking for both coordinators there. What was Sean McDermott before the head coach? Offensive or defensive coordinator?
I'm going to assume – defensive, just because they've gone through offensive coordinators recently, and that's the only thing I'm basing this on. But I'm gonna take a look right now.
He was a defensive guy.
He was the Panthers' defensive coordinator forever. So
and also the defensive coordinator in Philly, also.
Right. So you would go an offensive guy like Ben Johnson, I think the Lion guy name is, or one of those.
I'm gonna give a prediction. Giant wise, coaching staff.
Okay.
When they brought in the system, they brought in Dable.
Okay.
The entire conversation was Ken Dorsey was coming with it.
Okay.
It wouldn't surprise me to see Ken Dorsey as the offensive coordinator of the New York Giants next year.
Who is the current offensive coordinator of the New York Giants?
They let him go.
Okay. So nobody. Kiffin
was let go.
Okay.
Both of the coordinators are gone.
Well,
both roles. They filled the running back coach role, so it's okay. They got the guy who's been in New Orleans for 10 years.
weird.
I mean, but still, I don't be surprised to hear the name Ken Dorsey come up, even though he got fired in the middle of the year in Buffalo. But like you said, they just rotate through offense coordinators like socks in Buffalo.
Well, yeah. All right.
That was my hot take on that position. With that being said, Vin, you just need love this week. Just remember,
all you need is love. You need is love, the power of love. And, you know,
Back to the Future reference. Good job.
Just score a lot of points. If you're going to give up a lot of points, that's fine. Get the defensive coordinator fired.
Don't let. I'm shocked you didn't fire him at the end of the game the other day after giving up that many points.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the guy needs to go. I don't care how good they go, how they are. The guy.
I'm sorry, but you're not getting Wink. I think it's already signed, sealed, and delivered in Philly. He wants to beat the living hell out of Daboll twice a year.
Al Harris, Jim Leonard,
Aaron Glenn. Bring Aaron Glenn.
Well, Aaron Glenn would be, it would be a lateral move, so I don't know.
Would you want, with the NIL deals, would you want another season of Ballers to see how Strathmore can deal with that?
No, I had enough of that show.
Okay, just a second.
The end, it was like everybody hated him, and then in one episode, everybody loved him again. It was like he was a new man in...
I still want to know if he won the battle with the NCAA. That's my problem.
The whole thing... It just
He announced he was battling the NCAA, and then next thing you know, he's owning the Chiefs.
Yeah, it was dumb. The whole thing was dumb.
And then anyway. Shooter McGavin...
Is Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones.
It was so weird.
Hates him. And doesn't want anything to do with his proposal. And then next thing you know, he's like, okay, let's do it.
Right. And then Denzel's son is now making documentaries. But I don't even... What happened to his football career? I don't know.
He got hurt. Remember, he got hit by... Remember, he tore his ACL and he gets hit by the car. Thing.
Okay. I forgot about that.
He tore his ACL.
Yeah.
And he got caught with the steroids and was going to be suspended.
Yeah.
What's his name on the rant? The guy who was the Rams GM in the show.
Yeah.
He's basically Les Snead. But if you watch the final season, Les Snead is actually like an assistant to him in one of the episodes.
Oh, really?
It's kind of funny.
Okay.
He re-signs him, and then after he tells him, that was when he goes in the street, and he's all excited and gets hit by the car.
Gotcha. This is another weird actor thing. Have you ever seen the movie Mystery Alaska?
Yes.
The guy who plays like...
Isn't Kurt Russell in that movie?
Russell Crowe. This is a common hockey movie trope that there's only one defenseman in the movie.
Ever.
Yes.
Even in the 80 Olympic team, there's only one defenseman.
There's only one. Ken Morrow doesn't exist.
He does. They mention his name once in the entire movie.
They
mention
his name once because they're playing like play-by-play. The guy who plays the one defenseman, Tree, in Mystery Alaska, is the owner of the Rams in thing.
Oh, in the show. In Ballers.
He keeps giving him shit and is like, yeah. That's the same guy. Anyway.
With that being said, it's power of love, Vin. It's the power of love.
I'm ready for it. Whatever comes, it comes.
I'm going to be really upset when Rashad Gary watches Christian McCaffrey run by him 100 times.
As long as it's not a quarterback.
Luckily, Brock Purdy does not run. Yeah. Like Colin Kaepernick.
And none of our linebackers have long hair. So it can't get blown by anymore.
We will see you guys next week.